Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
All right, we're glad you're listening today. We try to make this show very interesting, and I think this segment, this one fascinates me because we're going to speak with Lori Israel, and she is a Boston-based family lawyer and author, and we're going to talk about prenuptial agreements for baby boomers. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your background as a family lawyer and author.
I started practicing law a little over 31 years ago. I started out as a tax lawyer, and then somehow I got interested in divorces. And I never thought I'd be a divorce lawyer, but that's one of the things I started doing a lot of. I also had practices. I also practiced in estate planning and probative estates. And so this combination helped me help people. And it started getting me, people started coming to me because they were interested in helping their marriages. Sometimes something financial would come up, and I would try to help them as a mediator to resolve it. And then I wrote an article about 10 years ago, put it on the internet, and it was called 10 Things I Hate About Prenuptial Agreements.
Oh.
So I started seeing them, and they were always horrible. They were very unhappy. People suffered through them. Many of them were taking away lots of rights without giving anything in return, and they were making people miserable. So I was very motivated to write that article, and it was when it was kind of when people started posting articles on the internet. So that article went viral. And what happened is a lot of people from Massachusetts and all over the country kept on calling me and asking me to help them resolve prenups either before they happened or after they happened, or give them counsel about it or advice in some way.
Oh, that's very fascinating. So 10 Things I Hate About Prenuptial Agreements. You know where I'm going to go next, don't you?
So, what are the 10 things?
I'm curious. I mean, I want to ask you other things as well, but, you know, what are the 10 things? We'll probably cover a lot of ground doing that. I feel like...
Yeah. I'll get it on my... I know.
Pull it up. I'm sure you... Pull it up while you're doing that. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not really sure how I feel about prenuptial agreements, Mary Pat, because I've not, you know...
Well, you're married.
Well, forever.
Yeah.
But if I were not, and I were to get into a new situation, you know, I have 3 grown children, and... You know,
there's a lot to consider.
There is a lot to consider. So
I found my article.
Okay.
It's all over the place.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there is a lot to consider. And I have to say that I am not a big promoter of prenups, especially in first marriages.
Okay.
And this article, 10 Things I Hate About Them, is really about first marriage prenups of relatively younger people.
Got it.
I think prenups can be really appropriate when baby boomers are older and they have kids from previous marriages and they're getting married again. And we'll talk about that bit later. But let me just get this article out.
Okay. While that's loading, you know, let's touch on the baby boomers that are of age that may consider multiple marriages. And, you know, there's an increase in that. Haven't you seen an increase in the baby boomer generation who are asking for prenuptial agreements?
There, you know, there's many people in the baby boomer generation who are getting divorced in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s.
It's interesting. Why do you think that is? Because they're financially independent? They're just, they've had it?
Yeah.
Thinking about that today when I was driving, and I think one of the reasons is that we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that people died all the time, so that somebody who was into their 70s, you know, was really an old person. It used to be that Social Security was set up because people thought people wouldn't be living too much. Too many people would be living after 62.
That's changed.
So people are living longer, and I think a lot of people do run through their relationships, and the relationships become unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And if a relationship becomes unhappy, then one can think about leaving, especially if one can leave and still survive financially.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. No, that makes sense.
I think some are waiting till their kids are grown, too.
Yeah. Some people do. Some people wait till their kids are grown. But lots of times what I'm seeing is that older people, you know, people who are baby boomers, there's a lot of struggle about financial issues that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a downturn about financial issues, and, you know, some people don't really know how to be married. They don't know how to resolve disputes or let things go. And And people want to try it a second time.
It's interesting. Yeah, I get that. Now, how do grown children play, you know, a role in the,
well,
the prenup
a couple,
second time around?
A couple of ways. One way is because when people get married again and at baby boomer ages, people, you know, have known their children for 30 years, 40 years,
yeah.
20 years, and
yeah.
people have a fierce love for their children. And most people, if they're able to, they would really like to leave a legacy for their children when they die.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get married, you also want to support the person you're marrying, because why would you get married unless you have really strong feelings towards that person and want to protect that person
sure.
in their old age and be their partner.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby boomer prenup that kind of tries to balance the allegiance between the children of the first marriage, your allegiance to your children, and your allegiance to your new spouse.
Okay, so maybe you leave the vacation home to your daughter. The spouse gets the house you live in now. Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, there's enough money to provide for both. Or you put property in a trust, a Q-tip trust or something, for your spouse, and then after they die, the remainder goes to your children. Or you do a combination of things.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the reasons for the prenups is that married people have rights in every state to elect against a will. In other words, if they're not provided anything or not provided enough, and that ranges from like 20% to 50% of somebody's estate.
Oh, who knew?
They're allowed to elect against the will and take what the law would give them. So, you know, lots of times people like those rules because those rules are what they want to do anyway. But having a prenup will set that in stone, your testamentary plan, what happens after your death.
Oh, my gosh, you're using big words. I didn't understand all of it, but I understand some of it. So, no, it makes a Q-tip trust. I've never heard of that, but...
It means your spouse can use the money, you know, under certain strictures during their life, and then the rest of it at the end is for your children.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've got some good balance in your thinking, and I like that.
Yeah, you need to be balanced, because the problem with prenups is a lot of times they're not balanced. And they're not nurturing for marriages. They're just vehicles for risk protection. And if you keep on doing enough risk protection, you've basically made yourself unmarriageable, because, you know, who would marry somebody that doesn't share anything, doesn't share anything with you?
I think that's very unattractive. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Very
yeah.
unattractive.
Right. And then the process that people go through is awful. Even for second marriages, even for baby boomer marriages, because they're coercive, and yet they don't legally, they can be coercive and unkind.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're coercive, they almost never rise to the legal level of coercion that would invalidate a contract.
Interesting.
Like that.
You sound like you know what you're talking about. You're a smart lady.
I wrote a book on it.
What's the book called? What's it called?
I was so motivated by this.
Yeah.
That 3 years of my spare time writing a book that's called The Generous Prenup, How to Support Your Marriage and Avoid the Pitfalls.
All right, I'm writing this down. The Generous Prenup, How to What?
The Generous Prenup.
How to
support your marriage and avoid the pitfalls. And it's available on Amazon and all the online retailers, both as a paperback and a ebook.
Cool. Okay.
Everything in it. Like, you probably don't realize that that people, you know, when you get married, you have an obligation to support your spouse if they go into a nursing home. If their assets are used, then your assets are going to be used.
Well, I mean, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
You know,
and prenups cannot help that situation, because the federal government and the state governments don't recognize the private arrangements people make in prenups.
Interesting.
But isn't there documents, though, where you can separate your money? I mean, say one person in the marriage gets really, really sick, so
mm-hmm.
they don't take all your money. Can't you separate that, though, or something?
I think if you separate that, it's still, even if it's in your own name, it's still liable up to about under $30,000 for the nursing home of your partner.
I got you.
And that material is in the book. It's kind of scary stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
people getting married a second time.
Yeah.
you know, need to think about that. There's also information about an issue about what do you tell your kids?
What do you tell your kids?
Baby boomer marriages, prenups can really help the blended family.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that sometimes happens when people marry again is that everything goes to their surviving spouse, and that surviving spouse has children, and then everything goes to those children, and people feel neglected by their own parent.
Now, see, I think that's wrong. I mean, if I had money and I got married, I would expect, if I passed away, for that to go to my children.
But what about if your new spouse also needed support after you died?
Well,
how would you arrange that?
I'd have to see if I still
like him. She didn't like him that much.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, he doesn't exist, but maybe he exists. Does he exist?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, she's not telling me. I'm nosy. Oh, my gosh. So guess what, Lori Israel, our Boston-based family lawyer and author, guess what? We're going to have you back to talk about the 10 things you hate about prenuptial agreements because we've run out of time. Will you be on the show again?
I'd love to.
Okay, so we'll wait a couple of months. We'll call you. Hey, new year, people might be thinking about doing new things in their lives. So we'll have you back and we'll specifically drill down on those 10 things. But I do want to tell people that the name of the book that you've written that sounds like it could support all your brilliant speech is The Generous Prenup: How to Support Your Marriage and Avoid the Pitfalls. And we can find that at Amazon and some other places, right?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you have been delightful.
Thank you. It was really fun. I love talking about this subject.
I can tell that you do. It's your passion. That's cool. All right. We'll have you back on Boomer Radio. And in the meantime, enjoy your holidays.
You too. Take care.
Thank you, Lori.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Boomer Radio.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to Boomer Radio. Julie Patterson along with Mary Pat McKee.
Hello.
This guest is, I have loved this show so far, and we will not disappoint you, I promise. Laura Jackson is our guest's name. She has a BS in science and nursing and a master's in public health. And you're probably thinking, now, I don't know if that's interesting or not. Sure it is. Laura, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This lady has created and come up with the coolest concept to help baby boomers and those 50 plus who fall. And Mary Pat's smiling and laughing at me because I took a terrible spill a few days ago. And she's like, did you?
Well, I wasn't laughing.
I had you booked before I took this terrible fall. But Laura is the co-founder of an app called iFallCept. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did. Oh. iFallCept.
So tell our audience what that is.
Okay. Well, I love iFallCept. Actually, what it means is I intercept falls, which means it's all about fall prevention. So it's spelled iFallCept. So it's iFallCept. And it's an app. And you can download it on your phone, and you can download it on your iPad, and you can go to the iStore and get it. And it helps you do a home assessment on your home for fall prevention.
We've got a local company called Unique Home Solutions, and I've done segments with them before about this. And these are things that I never thought before they rock my world and I learned. So when you're doing a home assessment, what are the things that this app helps you assess or figure out in your house?
Well, first of all, can I tell you that there's such huge statistics about seniors and falls.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, let's talk about that first. I didn't realize till I was looking at some of your statistics that more women fall than men.
Yes, but a senior dies every 20 minutes from a fall.
That's significant.
Oh. 1 in 4 seniors fall each year.
Oh, my.
Nearly 80% of falls occur in or around your home.
Wow.
And 50% of those falls, so you know, roughly half of those falls we could prevent. They're caused from extrinsic factors.
Okay.
And, you know, that just means things that we can fix. So that's what brought us to thinking about doing this application. So we love it. It's a 500-point assessment, and it just starts outside your home.
Okay.
Looks at things like, you know, can ambulance drivers see your address?
Oh my gosh.
Walk uneven? Do you have a rail? You know, how's your lighting? And then just takes you room by room in your house that for you to assess all of these things.
Wow. I know one of the things, and I noticed it, my parents are 84, and they got rid of their throw rugs in their house. It seems like a little dumb thing, but those throw rugs can make you tumble.
Yes, that would be if people always say, well, if there's just a few things that I could do, what would you say? The first thing I would say is get rid of your throw rugs.
Yeah. No, that's a big one, and I never realized it. So that's probably part of your 500-point assessment.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm. And probably, you know, I'm just going out on a limb here. Probably lighting would have some.
Lighting is probably the second thing, especially night lighting. And, you know, having that smart lighting that gets on when you get up. So it doesn't have to be on all night. It's just going to turn on when you get up at night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yes.
So does it detect, is it a motion kind of thing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, cool. Okay, so throw rugs, lights, what are some other things that can help us with this 500-point assessment that we can learn on your app?
Oh, well, we go room by room, we look at things like, you know, cords, rugs. You know, people have all these things plugged into cords that are crossing their pathway or near their chair that they can get their foot hooked in and fall. And, you know, grab rails in the bathroom, all these things.
Yep.
I've had friends that have fallen and that were super active, very, you know, with it people and having a full life, and they've fallen. And, you know, some of them never recover fully, so they don't get their life back. So, you know, and then other people fall and they go in the nursing home because they can't walk again and it takes them a long time to recover. But, you know, the statistics on that are is if you go to the nursing home, only half of those people return to their own home.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
that's a pretty scary statistic.
Very scary. I think it's important to note here that you and your daughter founded iFallCept. You created and manage it, but you had a thriving home health agency, didn't you, for like 20 years?
Yes, certainly did. You know, I was a nurse, and well, I guess you'll always be a nurse.
Right.
But, you know, I worked in the hospital for a while, and when I went into home care, I knew that was my passion and my calling. And, you know, I've always considered myself to be a patient advocate, but I've always been a senior advocate. Uh-huh. And then when my parents got older, I was definitely very much a patient advocate and a senior advocate with them. But I think one of the driving factors to create iFallCept between my daughter and myself was that my dad actually died from complications from a fall.
Aww.
So,
you know, they say a fall can really, I mean, that can just take you out completely.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, someone can be, like I say, have a very vibrant lifestyle, and then they fall and they just never get back there.
And, you know, your statistics kind of bear that out. The things that you told us at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
So you said that iFallCept is available for Android and for iPhone. Just go to the App Store and kind of search iFallCept and we can probably find it, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can go to the Apple Store or you can go to our website, www.ifallcept.com. And it'll give you all the information you need there as well. And it will also let you look at the application. So.
Okay. Very good. What have we not covered that we need to mention?
Well, I think when we looked at iFallCept, because of my history and agencies that we were originally starting iFallCept for agencies and professionals.
Oh.
And the more we used it and the more individuals used it and made comments on it, the more we realized that really it should go in the hands of seniors so they can have the power themselves to prevent falls in their own home, because that's what it's all about, is for us to take care of ourselves. So I think that was really the light bulb moment when we said, oh, well, we will, you know, share this with agencies, but what we really want to do is put it in the hands of individual seniors and let them be in charge of that and, you know, really be active in fall prevention in their home. Now, there is a fire safety aspect to this as well.
Okay.
And we even have a little exercise button on there for people.
Oh.
Because, you know, your strength of your muscles and how you sit and rise and your gait when you walk is all important in fall prevention.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, good to know, good to know. Is there a cost involved with the app?
Yes, there is. It's about the price of a McDonald's.
Just a little meal. So we got it.
It's very cost efficient for seniors. It's not going to put you out too much. And it's good for 6 months. And we recommend that you do it twice a year in your home or if you have a change in condition.
Right.
But you can use it as often as you want. There's not a limit on how much you use it when you have it.
Very, very cool. All right. We are speaking again with Laura Jackson. She's the co-founder with her daughter of iFallCept. She knows what she's talking about. BS in science and nursing, master's in public health. You've been there, done that, and you've seen it. And I'm sorry to hear about your dad, but think about all the people that you are helping prevent falling and not being able to recover. That's great.
Well, thank you for having us. I love iFallCept. I just think it's a wonderful concept and would never have thought even 10 years ago that this would be available for people to, you know, to be able to have, you know, any time they want. And I think that is just, I think it's wonderful and it's a very low cost. Anybody should be able to afford it. It's not expensive by any means.
Sure. Well, we are glad now that Central Indiana knows that it exists and that they can find it useful and helpful in their lives, in the lives of their parents and the seniors that they know. So thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much.
And you are listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
And we appreciate you listening. Thanks for being there for us. We're here each and every Saturday afternoon at 4:30 p.m., a rebroadcast Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. And thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We have a TV show. We like to call it Boomer TV.
We do, we do.
We have a fairly new time. We're on WFYI at 9 a.m. So as you're getting ready for church or maybe making breakfast or, you know, if you're an early riser after you read the paper, tune in. This is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Not only do we get to see Paul Poteet and what he's had some enhancing surgery.
You're going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Yep.
But he we grow hair and is what it's called in the...
It's PAI. Hair... Okay, yeah, PAI.
Is that the name of the company that does
it? The company, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you see, when you see him on TV, it's We Grow Hair.
Okay, PAI, you know? We Grow Hair.
Yeah.
So he had it done, and it looks great, and it's just phenomenal what they can do.
Well, it's really wild, I mean, what they did. I mean, they actually stitched in his head the hair, and he doesn't remember because they kind of knock you out when you do that, so.
Yeah. So anyway. That's on the show. The Cabaret has a new home. I don't know if you've ever been to the Cabaret. I love it. It's fun. They have artists come in, Broadway artists, just a good variety. They have a new home in the Arts Council building.
That's right, and Jill Dittmeyer walks around with the executive director there, and it really is. It's very nice, very nice venue.
We are approaching the holiday season, and a lot of times we talk about people that don't have enough to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And Gleaners Food Bank is so helpful in our community with that.
Again, an amazing operation.
Yeah, and we take you inside of Gleaners Food Bank.
Yep.
If you've never seen that. One of my passions, I love the month of October in Irvington. If you've ever been to the Irvington community, there's so many multiple events going on. Always do the Vampire Run. One of the other things I always do is the Ghost Tour. Alan Hunter, brilliant storyteller, former history teacher, tells historic tales that were true about people who actually were in and around Irvington. John Dillinger was there. H.H. Holmes, America's first serial killer. There's a story about that. It's fascinating. Those ghost tours happen.
And there's really ghosts in there.
There are ghosts in a lot of those buildings.
Yeah.
In the Irvington Theater, in the Masonic Lodge, in what is now Lincoln Square, used to be Dufour's. We could go on and on. So the show's going to be great. Tune in this Sunday morning, 9 a.m. on WFYI-TV. Where can we pick up the magazine?
Kroger Stores got a new one coming out next week.
All right, great. Yep. All right, well, thanks for tuning in. Again, we'll be back next Saturday here on Boomer TV. We're going to talk about the New York City Marathon, which I am running, and we're also going to talk about the Christmas Gift and Hobby Show.
Yeah, so you can run over there.
Yeah, you can run over there. Run all through it. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your weekend. And now, Dick Wolfsey with Life in a Nutshell.
Seriously, I responded to Mary Ellen, in the middle of the afternoon, at our age, you must be kidding. Why not, she said. If we wait till evening, you'll just fall asleep. Take your little blue pill and let's get going. So I took an Aleve for my arthritis, and we headed out for a class in line dancing. We were in Florida with our friends Joy and Steve. I figured it was Joy who dragged Steve along to the community center for these lessons, but Steve tells Joy he loves the activity. So it turns out that her husband, who's a better golfer than me and a better bowler than me, is also a better liar. The sign in front of the community center said, "Watch your step," which at first I thought was a warning about an unsafe change in the flooring or possibly a whimsical instruction for beginner dancers. But it also could have been a warning to recalcitrant seniors like me not to be uncooperative and cranky. There were about 60 senior women in the class and a few men. I felt bad because I figured all the ladies were widows simply looking for something to pass the time of day. But when I looked out in the parking lot, there were dozens of cars filled with impatient husbands peering at their iPhones or fast asleep in the driver's seat. Stella, the instructor, was quite good at her job, but she scrutinized my every move as I tried desperately and unsuccessfully to follow her directions. Slide to the left, grapevine to the right, cha-cha-cha, foot forward, pivot, twist, turn around, brush, step, kick. When I was certain I had all the moves right, it looked like the other 65 people were doing it all wrong, and they were doing it in unison. The five men in the class were eager for the session to end and get on with their day. I knew this because they were all dancing in their golf shoes. Stella saw I was frustrated and advised me to just dance and not think too much. It was too late for that advice. I was already thinking about how bad I was at this, thinking of all the people staring at me, and thinking of ways I could turn this disastrous experience into a humor column. Then, Steve butted in and told me that I wasn't keeping time. But that wasn't true. I knew there were exactly 12 minutes and 45 seconds left before this torture would finally be over. At noon, Stella excused the beginners and welcomed the intermediate class. Joy, Mary Ellen, and I walked to the car, but Steve stuck around to learn some more advanced moves. About 10 minutes later, he pirouetted to the car and told me that Stella had told him that I was the worst dancer she had ever seen. Now Stella may call herself a line dance instructor, but that was like way out of line.
Life in a Nutshell is presented by Dick Wolfsey. Email Dick at wolfsey@AOL.com or visit him on Facebook.